Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Friendships are very important to life. What is it that draws people together as friends? There are a number of things. Whenever we look and think in regard to children, usually they are similar or maybe even the same age. And therefore, based out of their age and based out of the things that they have going on in life, they're brought together as friends. A lot of times, though, as we grow older, we find is that we no longer look to maybe age that draws us together, but we have a common interest. And based out of a common interest and maybe common goals, we develop a friendship. There might also be similar situations in life that draws people together. What type of friends should we have in life? If we look to making friends with people out in the world, and I believe to a degree we need to have friends who are in the world because we are to shine as a light into the lost and dying world, and we are to reach out with the good news about Christ. Yet in all of that, I want to caution us to the fact that we need to be very careful. Why? Because the world lives their life contrary to the will of God. And therefore, we can be influenced, pulled into that type of a lifestyle if we will allow them to influence us. And in fact, what we need to do as Christians is to be the one who is influencing these individuals if we look to our friends in the world. But yet at the same time, I contend that the greatest friends that we ought to have in life, those that we ought to desire to be friends with, is those of like precious faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to have individuals who live good lives. We need to have individuals who we count as friends, as those who have high moral standards, the same moral and ethics that you and I have in life. And as we think in regard to friends, friendships, we also need to understand the types of friends that we ought to strive to be in life. As I think about friends, I think of Jonathan and David and the type of friendship that these men had in and through the course of their lives here upon the face of the earth. To begin with, I believe that Jonathan and David had a friendship where that they expressed a love or an adoration for one another. The Bible identifies to us that King Saul, he takes David into his home after Goliath is killed. He had an interest in David. Why? Because he was a young man, and this young man kills this Philistine, and he is drawn to him with a very keen interest, and he inquires in regard to whose son he is. And after he finds out whose son he is, then he invites him in to his own home and to dwell there. Well, as a result of his coming in and being in the house of Saul, and no doubt Jonathan, Saul's son, begins to develop some sort of a relationship, a friendship with David. And the Scripture identifies to us is that they grow extremely close as friends. In fact, the reading that was presented for our hearing just a few moments ago says that Jonathan was knitted to the soul of David. And the word knitted there, if you look to the original language, in the Hebrew language, it literally means as if he was chained to him. And that does not mean that he was chained or that he chained himself physically to him, but rather emotionally he was drawn to him and he loved him that deeply to where he felt as if they were that connected in and through life. Their friendship was so close that not only did they feel it, and not only did they express it, the Bible identifies to us is that they made a covenant with one another as it centered in and around their friendship. In this covenant would have said to one another, we're going to be friends for life. We're going to be devoted to one another as friends for life. Friends, I stand before you tonight and tell you that you and I need to make sure in our lives that we tell our friends each and every day how much we love and appreciate them. And as we would express the type of love that we have for our friends, we also need to understand that it is essential for us to demonstrate what true friendship is really and truly all about. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then in like figure, we are to love one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ and the friends that we have in the church, they need to hear and to feel that love on an ongoing basis. And even those friends that we make outside of the church, they need to know exactly how much we love them and how we feel about them as indeed a true friend. As we think also about Jonathan and David, we find here that Jonathan puts David over an ungodly family. In the context of what we find in 1 Samuel chapter 19, we see here that Saul grows envious of David's fame and he wants him killed. Why is it that Saul grows envious of David? I believe there's the answer to this in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 28, where it said there that Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And from that point forward then, we see is that he not only harbors bitterness for David in his heart, but now he's pursuing a desire to kill him. In fact, Saul tells his company, and Jonathan is amongst this gathering, that he wants David killed. And what type of action do we find in regard to Jonathan? What did he do? Jonathan went very quickly to take his father's information, his father's intentions to David. And he explains to him his father's desire to take his life. And friends, what does Jonathan continue to do? He pleads with his father. He wants his father to see David in the same way as what he sees him, as a good man, as a godly man, as a man who is out there to benefit his fellow man. And as a result of not coming to see David in the same light as what Jonathan does, but as a result of his son pleading for his friend, we find that David's life is spared. Friends, today I contend that you and I, as Christians, need to put the church family in front of our personal families. There are times where that we may have family members who are not members of the Lord's church, and they will try to come between us and our God. They will work in their lives to not only destroy a relationship with us and God, but also to hinder our connections with the church. And we need to do all that we can possibly do to stay connected with the body of Christ and to prefer the church members over our family members. And that would go true even when we think in regard to our friends in the church, to make sure that we are encouraging each other as brothers and sisters in Christ on an ongoing basis. As we think also about Jonathan and David, I believe that we see that they shared a constant friendship. Jonathan realized that David could not run and hide forever. This is in the context later on. And Saul is again now seeking to kill David, and David is in hiding. And it appears in the context now that Jonathan and David has brought a time together where that they're going to meet in a field. And as they come together in this particular place, in a very private matter, secretly if you would, the Scripture identifies to us is that David and Jonathan embrace one another as friends. One might say, as friends? What do you mean, Kevin? The Scripture says that they kissed one another and they wept. You see the friendship here. It was quite common culture in the day is that they kissed on the cheek to express adoration for one another and to demonstrate the type of friendship that they had for one another, the longing that they had, devotion that they share as dear friends. And they wept, knowing now that it's also going to lead to a departure within them being able to be together from a physical standpoint in the presence of one another, that is. In this, the two men, even though that they depart ways, even though they're not able to constantly be around each other, the Scripture, I believe, in this immediate context, but in the broader context especially, identifies to us as that they continue to remain friends no matter what. And friends, the way that that would apply to you and me today is that we develop friendships in the body of Christ. Yes, on the outside, in the world, but specifically in the body of Christ. We are blessed to be a part of the church family. But the friendships, the camaraderie that we share with one another, sometimes though, we are not always able to be with each other. Sometimes even we move to various locations, and that friendship should not, must not stop. Amen? Dawn and I were talking the other day about the way that the Lord has blessed us in being able to work with the Lord's church here specifically at East End. We love each and every one of you and the work that we are engaged in with one another in the body of Christ. And we were talking about the connections, the friends that we have been able and blessed to make here. But not only here, throughout the brotherhood. When we worked in Pennsylvania, to be able to make friends there. When we were going through the school in Knoxville, in Carnes, that is, to be able to make connections and friends there. And even though that there's all these miles between us with some of the friends that we've made in life, we're still friends. Those friendships, they're not limited to any distance. Also, as we think in regard to Jonathan and David, I believe that we see that Jonathan encouraged David in the Lord. David is aware, once again, that Saul has come out to take his life. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14 and verse 15. And Jonathan goes to David this time. Again, David already knows what's going on. And Jonathan goes to David this time. The Scripture explicitly tells us to strengthen David's hand in the Lord. To strengthen him in the Lord. David was a godly man. And Jonathan, I believe, understood that David was a godly man. And that David had a trust in God, a love for God. And no doubt he's gone through so much. This isn't the first time that Saul has wanted to kill him. We've discussed that. And no doubt it's taking its toll on David. It's weighting him down. And therefore, Jonathan goes to David and encourages him that the Lord God is with him. And that God's not going to hang him out to dry. And in all of this, he says that my father will not find you. Why is Saul not going to be able to find David? I believe that God is working providentially behind the scenes to make sure that he is secured and safe. But also, God has a greater plan for David. He reveals unto him, unto David that is that he is going to not only survive, but he also now is going to serve as king over God's people. He encouraged him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christian friends, we need to offer strength to one another. The world has a way of beating us down. Amen? The world is constantly bombarding us with all kinds of craziness. And those things can take their toll on us emotionally and even physically, wearing us out. And we need to be edified. And in part, we gather that edification whenever we come together to worship and to praise God on the Lord's Day. We also do that on Wednesdays, the midweek services, but yet at the same time, we need to be reaching out to one another as brothers and sisters and as friends in the Lord, constantly encouraging the hands of each other as members of the body of Christ. But you know, there's one last thing that I want us to think about with regard to Jonathan and David. I believe that we find here in this context that Jonathan lived to be missed by David. And I think it could also be said about David. These men, they missed each other whenever they were not around one another. If you go to the context of 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 25, you'll find here is that Saul's life has been taken. Of course, we know from the context he took his own life rather than to allow the Philistines to come in upon him. And in this, we find that David is aware that Saul, he's no longer around. And I find it very interesting here is that David is sorrowful. He's weeping not only because of the effects that this has upon Jonathan, but the Scripture says that he wept over Saul. That's a godly man, isn't it? someone who's wanted to take your life and now they're dead, a lot of people might say, I'm glad they're gone. But that's not what we find in regard to David. David weeps over the fact that this man has met his demise. And friends, David expresses great sorrow in the context also for the fact that he's missed Jonathan, and Jonathan and David share a mutual love for one another. And I find it interesting in this statement, as it centers in and around the love that they share for each other, the Scripture tells us that David loved Jonathan more than he loved his love for women. And we know that he had a love for women. Amen? Bathsheba comes to mind. And that does not mean that he had this thing for Jonathan. There are individuals who want to say that David and Jonathan had some sort of a... That's crazy. But what he's saying is that he loved him. I believe that we might use two Greek terms to describe the love that they shared for each other, with an agape love, a never-ending sacrificial love, and a phileo love, a brotherly love. And friends, we find that these men truly loved each other to the point to where when they were not able to be with one another, they missed each other. And as God's people, we should live our lives to where that whenever we pass from this life into eternity, is that we are missed. I'm reminded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34 and verse 8, it says that whenever Moses died, that they wept for 30 days. Why? It was a part of culture, but Moses had that type of an impact, an influence upon the people, the Jews at that time. And therefore, whenever he passed, they grieved immensely over the fact that he's no longer with them. I'm reminded of what is shared with us from God's inspired message in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4. A man by the name of Abel, the Scripture says concerning him, that even though he was dead, he continued to speak. And that doesn't mean that audibly he went around out of the grave speaking, but rather through his life, he continued to live on through the examples that he had set forth. And you and I, as friends, you and I, even as Christians, ought to live that sort of a life to where whenever we pass, that the church will continue to talk about our good works, that the world will continue to speak with reference to the type of individual that we were, and but then also that our true friends will understand, and that in all they will miss the fact that we are no longer able to be in their presence. Friends, tonight, I hope and pray that you are blessed with some wonderful friends in life, but also that you're striving to be the type of friend that they need in their life, a Christian friend who will help to lead them into a greater relationship with our God. But you know also tonight, as we think in regard to bringing this lesson to a close, there is a friend that we need in our life, and that friend is Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says to us that He has extended friendship. In the book of John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater loveth no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then here's the invitation to you and me to become his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What does he require us to do in order for us to be counted as a friend of his? To confess him to be the Son of the living God, to submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to be raised from that watery grave of baptism, then from that point to walk in newness of life. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, understand that He wants to be your friend. Are you willing to be His friend?